If you will, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And let us read the first seven verses together. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever gone out jewelry shopping? And you sit out there and you look in the cases and you kind of got an idea of what you like and what you really would like until you ask them to see it. Because see, they don't put the prices out there where you can see it. It's on a tag in the bottom of the box or whatever, and you have to have somebody get it out to show you the price, and then you throw up. It's amazing what these things cost. And what begins as jewelry shopping turns into window shopping. Many are fascinated with jewelry because jewelry represents wealth. Now, if you think about it, in and of itself, gold has really no value to our lives. You can't eat it. You can't wear it in clothing, and I know that they have had a process where they can weave little strands of gold into cloth, but you couldn't afford it. And you can't live in it unless, of course, you have an enormous amount of it. A diamond is basically just a lump of coal. In and of itself, precious metals and jewelry is simply a symbol of wealth or value, just a symbol. Imagine yourself, you're 12 years old, and God comes to you and asks you what you would want. It could be anything in the whole wide world. Now, if God would have asked me that question when I was 12, I would have said, I want a 5-speed, 20-inch spider bike with high-riser handlebars and a sissy bar, and I want it in metal flake red. Today, a 12-year-old might say, I want a PlayStation 5. Solomon was 12 years old. And I know he didn't have the spider bikes. He didn't have the PlayStation. But there was a lot of other things that Solomon could have asked for. But instead, this young boy asked for great wisdom. It is that wisdom that he received from God that Solomon would write these short essays about wisdom. Sometimes he would write, I guess you could call sentence sermons. Other times it would be kind of like what we call points to ponder and quips to quote. But if you will, go down to Proverbs chapter 2 and let's look at the first five verses. Solomon here is writing to his son. And he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for its hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wisdom is more valuable than fine jewelry. But is wisdom what we desire? We go back to our text of Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll be there primarily the rest of the lesson. The compilation of the book of Proverbs was done to simply help us look at them thematically. So the first several chapters of Proverbs centers on the topic of wisdom. And our text summarizes the Proverbs in verse 7. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now think about that phrase for just a moment. The fear of the Lord. The concept of fear here is connected to knowledge, wisdom, and instruction. Contrary to popular belief, fear can be a good thing when it is used appropriately. There was a Puritan preacher, his name was Jonathan Edwards, and he was known as one of those fire and brimstone preachers. And he was so much a fire and brimstone preacher that it was said that some gasped and others would grab hold of the pews because they were afraid that they would fall into the pit of hell while he was speaking. Is that the fullness of the idea of fear when connected to God? No. But it is important for us to have some sense of dread of what God can do. And this is evident from what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. In verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Now you see, Jesus, who is God, has an understanding and understands eternity. And he boldly stated that we should have some of this abject fear of the one who can cast us into hell. This type of fear is important. But you see, we read that, but we don't finish Jesus' statement. So we look in verses 6 and 7, where Jesus continues on. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. The balance of fear is the respect that comes from knowing what God can do. But it is also knowing that we are so loved that God does not want to do that to us. I'll try to make this as practical as I know how. Do you believe that the Bible gives you the guidelines to answer every question pertaining to life and godliness? And if you answer yes, then what does wisdom do? Simply this: wisdom listens, wisdom understands, and then obeys. That's what wisdom does. That's what Solomon is trying to get across. How many of us get frustrated when somebody comes to us for advice and then ignores what we say? They don't listen to the advice. They don't heed the advice. And at times, it's very tempting to look them in the eye and say, Then why did you ask me if you weren't going to listen to me? Is it any different with God and His Word? The Bible gives us all the wisdom. Why don't we listen to it? Solomon says, the fool despises wisdom and instruction. Verses 20 through 29. Solomon, or Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love the simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you because I have called you and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded because you have ignored all my counsel and will not have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes you and when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind and distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me. But because they hated knowledge, did not choose to fear the Lord, they will not find me. That's what you call a slap in the face. I cry out to God. He gives me an answer. But because I don't like His answer, I don't want to change my ways. I want to continue to face certain doom. Then when it comes that time for me to pay the piper and find myself facing eternal judgment from God, I want to cry out to Him. This time that God will not listen. He will allow me the consequence. He will allow me to suffer the consequences of leading a life without fear and knowledge and wisdom. And that brings us to the type of wisdom that we should desire. Exodus 28 and verse 3. God speaking to Moses. You shall speak to all the skillful, whom I have filled with the spirit of skill, and they will make Aaron's garments and consecrate him for my friends. Wisdom wasn't in there, was it? Did I get the wrong verse? I don't think so. Because this verse does have to deal with wisdom. And it's because of the Hebrew translation that is translated wisdom in the Hebrew. Because the Hebrew word is a little more colorful than what we have in the English word. The Hebrew word is chakka. And it refers to some kind of skill or ability. And this verse is the first time it was ever used. The King James, if you have that and looking at it, it translates both words as wise. The idea is God used wise, the wise-hearted, to make the garments, for He gave them that wisdom. The weaver's ability to follow God's design for manufacturing the garment was labeled wisdom. And from that point on, the Israelites equated wisdom with the skill for living. And wisdom has since been defined as a skill to live life according to God's plan. A wise person patterns his finances, his goals, his relationships, and every aspect of his life according to the specifications revealed in God's Word. Wisdom is what we need to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And God has a design for each one of us. We just need to wisdom to fulfill that design. We're going to close with James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Barney alluded to this morning in Bible class. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Have you ever asked yourself, do I deserve godly wisdom? Question remains, have I asked God for that wisdom? When you ask, do you heed what he says? Or are you simply looking for God to affirm what you already believe? If you're looking to God to tell you that your thinking is good when it's not, then you're unstable in all your ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. While we are alive, God gives us many chances to come to Him. God has given us His Word for us to look into to tell us how we do those things. He has laid out this pattern. He's had this pattern on the agenda since the beginning of time. But God had to find a way and do a way in order to instruct man to get him to that point. And at that point, he sent his son. At that perfect moment in time when the world needed him the most. He gave us the gospel. He gave us that way for us to be reconciled to him. And for those who have not taken that step, who have not been truly reconciled to him, now is the time. Through faith in God's Word, repenting of the life that you've lived, to publicly confess to man that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. By being baptized for the remission of sins, you can be reconciled with God. That is using the wisdom given through God's Word. That is using it correctly. You can be added to His church. And if you are a child of God and you have not been using God's wisdom properly, and you realize this and you need to make amends for that, if it needs to be done publicly, we want to invite you at that. If it's something that you can do between you and God, please do. If there's anyone that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.